Hello, and welcome to the Gospel Bell in the Dells, a weekly podcast sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in every age and place. My name is Pastor Joseph Dogan, pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Wisconsin Dells. Come and hear the good news that is indeed for you. The Holy Gospel, according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us when this will be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pains." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. We have officially hit the season of apocalyptic scripture that leads us into and through the Advent season, setting us up for the hope that is found in the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, apocalyptic literature is maybe some of the most misunderstood throughout the Bible and is used by many to strike fear into the hearts of children and adults alike. Now, once while working at camp, I heard one of my counselors, you know, over the walkie, "Joseph, can you come to my cabin? I think I messed up." You know, so I start heading that way and he catches me at the door before I even get in and he explains to me, "You know, to help them fall asleep, I thought I would read some Bible stories, and one of the kids asked if I could read Revelation, and so I did, and I started reading some of it, and Joseph, now they're all freaking out, and I don't know what to do." So I entered the cabin, and sure enough, we had a cabin full of crying kids on our hands, thinking that their moms, dads, dogs were going to be raptured while they were away at camp. This is an example of what happens when we sit with scripture with poor theological understanding and interpretation. Some, not all, but some lean further into such scripture as a way to control out of fear of a God that is sitting in wait to rain fire upon the masses. They use scripture to urge people to shape up, otherwise they, like those other people, will burn in the fiery pits of hell when God brings about a great reckoning. Time and time again, people then look to the signs around us to point to the end that is surely coming during Y2K or 2012 or whatever other superstition you want to jump behind. But none of this is new, right? All of those things that Jesus points to, wars, guess what? We already have them. Every day we have them. Nations rising against nations, old news, unfortunately. Earthquakes and famine, folks, we aren't the first to experience these things. But we aren't like those who focus on the next doomsday because we lean into something greater than fear. We are a people of hope in the resurrection promise. Now, last week, you heard a message from Reverend Wesley on a scripture about those who would devour the houses of widows. And Jesus comes into this place and sees those dressed beautifully and giving generously as a way to honor God in the place where they understood God to dwell. They are doing what they are taught is right, except that when they see a widow putting in all that she owns, none of them jump to action. They don't offer her food, a place to stay, or anything else. They are instead so focused on how they appear to be worshiping God greater than the person next to them, rather than focusing on God's forsaken in the margins. Now, after this scene, a frustrated Jesus walks out of the temple, and one of his disciples looks at the temple that they had just exited in awe. A temple that has made it through so much and is a place of deep faith for the people. It was understood that the temple is the place where God dwells. Now, a pastor from the UP earlier this week, DJ, said over the weekend that it was understood as the place where heaven meets earth. This is the understanding that was brought with the temple. So it's no wonder that the disciple was struck by its magnificence and blurts out, "Look, teacher, just look how beautiful with its large stones, and look at the large building surrounding it." Jesus, having just challenged the faith of people based on outward appearance alone, says, "You know what? You see these buildings, you think they are so good, you think that their size and beauty alone makes them great, they will be destroyed. Their beauty will fade. Not one stone will be left upon another." If we are indeed a people of hope, where then do we find hope in such a text? Jesus proclaims that the temple will crumble. The very dwelling place of God, again, the physical place where heaven meets earth, is seemingly going to fade. But we know that it doesn't. Instead, it is expanded in the hope of the resurrection promise. This isn't the hope for some far-off future, but it is one for now. For in Jesus Christ, we have all been made temples where God dwells. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Do you know, beloved siblings in Christ, do you know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Through Jesus Christ, you have been made holy. In the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have been made a holy place where heaven breaks through in new, great, and marvelous ways." Amen?
Amen. Amen.
But we aren't done yet. For the Spirit doesn't just dwell, but it moves us into action with our faith. For what is a temple if not a place where others too might see the love of God? Hebrews says, as Beth beautifully read, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds." Provoke one another to love. And maybe if you're anything like me, you're a little bit caught off guard by the word provoke, because we have a lot of provoking going on today. But rarely is it towards love. We bait one another into arguments and foolishness. We provoke that we might draw out anger and annoyance, but rarely is it towards love. But that is what we are called to do as those who are being moved by the Spirit, to do such work in the world that it provokes love, that we live in such a way that it elicits such strong reactions out of people that they are moved by love for a world in need, a world that is filled with widows in the margins. You, whom God has called a temple, where heaven meets earth, you have that same might and beauty as the temple in Jerusalem that can move others into action. And little by little, we can bring in those who have long been rejected, who have been hurt and ignored, by bringing that expansive love of God in Jesus Christ through the Spirit that dwells in us all to those who do not yet know their own worth. In a world that is hell-bent on perverting Scripture and control with a message of fear, you walking temples of God, bring a message of hope in the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you again for listening to our weekly podcast, The Gospel Bell in the Dells. To find out more about this ministry or learn ways to support us, please go and follow us on Facebook at Bethany Lutheran Church or at our website at dellsbethanylutheran.org.